Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is a report for today. It's Friday. That's right, Friday. It's the weekend. Yeah, that, never mind. It's July 15th, 2022. A lot of things to get into. Yesterday, it was interesting to have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on yesterday talking about, of course, the summer camp, but talking about her thoughts about what's coming. And then she mentioned that DNA, splicing into the DNA, using the mRNA as the means to do that. And the more I look into this, the more this is grabbing me, and I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. There's something here. There's something to this. But even if you would not go to that length, but I think it does go to that length, but even if you just set that aside, I'm thinking that mRNA delivery mechanism, not the way it was intended by Malone, but the way it's being used right now, is in fact advancing that transhumanist agenda far beyond anything that we ever thought possible before. Again, Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com. That's where you'll find all of the links cited in today's episode. Also go there, sign up for the mini conference for Steve, myself, the Egyptian in the Americas. I'm alien Egyptians in the Americas. I'm telling you something there that is beyond belief. When you look at what was done in pre-Adamic, even in Noah times later, what was known then compared to what's taking place right now, this really is worth every single penny. I've got to tell you, this is one of the best productions I've seen in terms of the finds and connecting the dots on the finds, the archaeological findings from just recently that date back, again, to the pre-Adamic times, to even around the days of Noah and stuff. It's amazing to see how things are playing out right now. All right, a couple of things I mentioned yesterday. I wanted to touch on that Vigilant Citizen piece. Okay, but before I do, I want to kind of lay some things out. Lay one thing out and address a video / audio. It was a recorded phone call that I didn't get to on Monday. I wanted to get to this on Monday, and I was going through all the weeks, all the days of the week, and I listened to it again. This happened on the War Room, and I was listening to this again. The CEO of the Red Apple Group, and Red Apple, I'm telling you right now, all right, gas, convenience stores, that kind of stuff. So they're on the front lines of the economic side of things. And if you... this week we saw like a number of things take place economically. 9.1 CPI, 9.1% inflation. You know, the inflation numbers are staggering. That 9.1 is, to me, is a bogus number. Okay, and this is something that affects all of us. You, me, Eric the Tech. We go to fill up our gas tanks. We go to buy groceries. This is part of the plan to take down the middle class and to deconstruct the country. What I'm trying to figure out, and maybe you can help me out with this, in the scheme of everything that's taking place right now, you know what, folks? They've got to take away our ability to fight back, specifically our ability to use our weapons. How are they going to do that? Now, I know the red flag. I know the laws, okay, being weaponized. against legal gun owners. But how in this country, in the United States, can they pull off what they did in Australia, the United Kingdom? I really want to know, and I base that question on the sheer number of weapons that we have, the sheer number of people who are prepped. And you know, I hear people say, well, gee whiz, you can't fight the American military. Well, no, I disagree. So really, as an intellectual thought process or an investigation dig, or perhaps even to map things out, how do you think this is going to play out? Have you ever thought about this? Maybe after work, you're sitting at home on your back porch having your can of adult beverage done for the week, listening to your favorite show, Hagman Report, watching it. Have you given any thought to this? And I mean, not just thought, but prayerful consideration, but thought. How this is going to play out. Oh, sure, using weapon as a food, or using a weapon as a food. Did you get that? It's Friday, so I'm allowed to make mistakes like this. Using food as a weapon. Possibly. But how would that play out? I'm having a hard time mapping how they will be able to pull off what they need to pull off with an armed citizenry. So the question becomes, how do you neutralize the arms that people have, the weapons people have? Because most assuredly, you're not going to go door to door. UN's not going to do that. Or if they do, it's going to be a mess, bloody mess. I shouldn't say they're not. Because I don't know. I legitimately don't know. And I would venture to say, anyone who says, well, I know how, well, then you're either on the inside of the planning or you're just guessing. Eric the Tech, I know you're busy over there, but have you given it, I don't even know if you were listening, but have you ever given any thought to that? Like, if we are to be disarmed, how are they going to disarm us to pull this off? Do you have any thoughts on this? And have you thought about this?
They'd have to go door to door. But by the time they do that, I think the people will gather and it'll be hard for them.
Hard for them. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's enough waste disposal trucks, and I'm not trying to be funny, to pick up the remains. You're right. I mean, now I suppose I could cut off the ammunition, but that doesn't. But what's out there is plenty. And you know, you hit somebody with ammunition. I mean,
this is why you need to be in groups.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because if they come, yeah, you might take out one or two people, but they're going to take you out.
That's true. That's true. And you know, in fair, I got to tell you this, folks. Eric the Tech is no slouch in terms of plans and scenarios and such. I mean, he's smart guy. And yeah, you've got to have a solid foundational group that you can count on. When it all hits the fan. All right. So, but yeah, I've been thinking about this. You can starve people into compliance, I suppose, through food, through energy. you can do a lot of things, but I think people, and this is the other side of the equation, I think people are starting to wake up to what's going on. I'm not going to say rapidly, but quickly, at least quicker than perhaps a year ago. So that means, the way I look at it is, okay, if, as Dr. Tenpenny said yesterday, the bad guys are working 24/7. They're working all the time. So if the measure of people who are awake is rising, you got to think that the people over on the bad side are starting to, you know, raise the ramp up their efforts. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Again, I believe that the people who say, oh, I know how this, I can tell you how, the, you know, with all due respect, and I respect your opinion, but it's just that, it's an opinion. But the more I see of things, the lay of the land, the more I appreciate people like in history, and it's no secret, Thomas Paine, you know, the warnings of Thomas Paine back in the Revolutionary times, and even his goading of the, at that time, the bad people, the British, even the people inside the country who were attempting to destroy the birthing of the Republic. Very interesting how this is playing out. It's a great time to be alive. I mean, look, you could have been alive, lived your entire life, 1800s, early 1900s, and that was exciting too for different reasons. But now it seems like we are fighting the ultimate fight. This is what we've read about in the Bible. This is what we've read about in the various books that we have talked about. So we are in World War III right now. So back to this Red Apple clip. I wanted to play this on Monday. I think it even has a little bit, I think it resonates a little bit better today than it did even on Monday. Again, this is a CEO of the Red Apple Group, somebody who knows what's going on. Now, this is specifically about the food, supply chain, we know what to expect, what's going on. I want you to take a listen to this. You can watch this or listen to it. It's a phone interview between him and Bannon. Introduction and then his thoughts about what is to come, what's happening now and what is to come. I thought it was pretty interesting. And again, what I try to do on these episodes is I'll go through seriously hundreds of articles, of videos, of audios, and bring the most comprehensive best I can to you to save you time in terms of, you know, listening to what is relevant and perhaps what is said in the best way possible. So here this is, and we may cut it short, I'm not sure, but here this is. Watch and
John Catsimatidis. John, a lot of people don't know is that you obviously a very successful businessman in the food business, distribution and grocery store, but you really are very know a lot about the oil industry, marketing, distribution of oil. You had a great interview the other day. We've had this cold open where the world isn't cratering right now. And one of the, whether it's the Dutch, and I think we're going to try to get Jan on from Netherlands, whether it's the Dutch farmers, the spreading revolt of farmers throughout Europe, the famine that's coming, UN over the weekend, I think said 70 million, the Guardian said 40 million. You've got Sri Lanka cratering, Ecuador's cratering, Argentina's cratering, inside internally China, they're cratering. A lot of this is dealing with energy and this fantasy of the sustainable Green New Deal or the green energy move of Greta Thunberg and the rest of these Russian-backed crazies. John, what is our solution to get through the horrible economy of the United States, the terrible inflation, and how is it tied to energy, sir?
Well, the key thing to know is we've been saying it on WABC lately, we might be in World War III right now, and we Americans don't know it. It's a real war, but a different kind of war. It's a war without nuclear bombs. It's a war without bullets. It's a war of words. It's the Chinese 2,000 years ago invented it. It's called the Art of War, Sun Tzu. And I'm sure, Steve, you know all about it. America is under attack in so many ways. It's attack. We're under attack with drugs. We're under attack on our borders are being invaded. Our legal system is under attack. Our colleges are under attack because they're changing into woke cultures. Our education system. We're now number 25 in education in the world. I mean, we're spending, in New York City, we spend $27,000 per student for education, and they can hardly read or write. I mean, our whole system is under attack, and I think the American people have to realize it. Our food is under attack. What happened, there's a violin playing. The old Greeks had an expression, a violin playing behind your back. And there's a violin playing behind the backs of the American people, and we don't realize it. And the more we wake up and find out what the heck is going on, ever since President Biden came into office, the first thing he did on the first day is cut out the Keystone Pipeline. Then he made the American oil companies the enemy. In addition to that, so what happened? The price of oil went from $55, $60 a barrel when he took office, and it doubled up to $100, $110, $120. Hey, he's blaming Putin. Is that part of the problem? Well, Putin did some stupid things. He shook the branches, but then he did something stupid and actually invaded, which hurt him a lot. If the oil companies were allowed, under President Trump, we were up to 13.2 million barrels a day in the United States of America. I think we're down to 11.1, 11.2, or whatever. And we are capable of doing 15 million barrels a day. Canada is capable of doing at least 5 million barrels a day. North America can be self-sufficient, which is vital for our defense. And
hang on a second. Hey, you're great. You're on a roll, third world dude. I love this. What are you talking about? This is war room. This is.
It's the truth.
The United States is blessed by divine providence with three Saudi Arabias, one in the Permian Basin, one up in Pennsylvania and New York, one in Alaska. Why does the Biden regime refuse?
And Canada.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Canada. And we're not counting
Canada.
The Arctic Ocean. We're not counting the Arctic Ocean. We have 100 years worth of oil. You know why China and Korea and Germany are pushing electric cars? They don't have any oil. That's the reason they're doing it.
Well,
John, what do you say?
Think about that. Is it that simple? It can be, and it's part of the reason. But also understand where the oil is. We've got the oil. And the numbers? You know the numbers. He just said the numbers with the millions of barrels of oil per day. And we are now dependent? Yeah, okay, that's no accident. Go ahead.
What do you say about the people that have the theology, the high church of Greta Thunberg's high church of climate change and global warming? What's your response? They're saying you're totally irresponsible. The oil companies are irresponsible. This costs Katzmatidis. He's got capital assets in this business, in the refinery and distribution. Oil companies have all these assets that they're burning up the planet. What do you say, sir?
You know, how did your old boss used to say it? They're full of crap. And that's not true. The earth is 4 billion years old. It constantly changes in the environment. You know what the purpose of a hurricane is? You know what the purpose of a typhoon is? The earth is self-regulating. If it gets too cool, if it gets too hot, you have more hurricanes. You have more rain. And the earth, you can't judge the earth over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You got to do it over hundreds of years. And that's the truth. And electric cars.
Yeah.
You know how much energy it takes them to get those electric cars charged and make
it's,
the battery.
It's all coal unless you go to nuclear. It's all coal. The great meme they've got is the coal train's coming. John, how does that relate? People don't understand the connection between oil, energy, and food production and food prices. We've got the situation in the Netherlands. You got a famine starting in East Africa and spreading throughout the Middle East. What's the connection between oil, energy prices, and food, sir?
Steve, you were in the intelligence business. You know that 20 or 30 different food companies in the United States were burned down or destroyed in the last 18 months. Do your research on it. Who is doing this? Okay?
Pause, please. How many people out there are talking about this dismissively? Folks, understand this. Okay, so the food production facilities are strategic hubs in the cases of the destruction. This is not by accident. You'll see people, even some on the right, saying, well, yeah, you know, things happen. These happen. But folks, understand, these are key hubs for food distribution. This is not your ordinary food distribution facility that's just along the way. No, these are key hubs, and that's the difference. But how many people are really talking about this and looking into this? And you might ask, well, I'm droning on, I don't mean to, but how can all these places cover this up? Easy. Crap rolls downhill, okay? Think of the structure of your fire department, of your arson squad within your fire department. Okay, think about how that all plays out. In fact, we're going to stop there. Listen to that clip. Watch that clip. He gets into some very interesting points. And the bottom line with this is we are being set up for a winter, this coming winter, and please understand this, it's going to start getting very selective in what you can buy. If you can purchase whatever it might be, it's going to perhaps be cost prohibitive. By the spring, by the summer, by next year, you might be looking for bugs to eat unless you've prepared ahead of time. Which, by the way, people, I got an email or people say, well, you're always like, you know, shilling for different places to sign up for and to listen and to, you know, like summer camp, for example. Well, yeah, because I want to know. And it takes professionals sometimes to guide non-professionals into the proper areas, making proper decisions. Hell, if I want to put a hot water tank in and I really don't care, you know, if it works, if I got a bad hot water tank, I need it replaced. I got a couple of choices. I can get my brother-in-law to do it. Wait, I don't have a brother-in-law. Yeah, I do have a brother-in-law. I'm kidding. sorry, Jeff. But you know, who doesn't know much and hope it works and maybe have some problems along the way, or you can get a professional to do it. One doesn't cost so much, or if anything, the other does. So, you know, I don't want to say we're gambling, but we're putting our lives into the information that we get really is going to impact our immediate future. And I think that's so important. So, you know, do what you want to do. Seriously, I've got no financial stake in any of this. Do what you want to do, but pray about it and please get educated. And if you think you can do that on your own, great. If you think you can, whatever, great. I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole. Now, yesterday I said I was going to get into the Vigilant Citizen article from June 1st. We can do that. Just briefly, because, you know, this is one of those things that I've referenced. I've put in the show notes, but I really haven't addressed. And it's just because of time. Sorry about that. But this you can look at on your own. But this struck me in a number of ways, because I think the biggest way that I was struck by this is when I showed this article to people I know pretty close to me, or who are pretty close to me, that had no idea of most of the information in here, or who believed some of the information in here was just, you know, oh, you know, yeah, okay, I've heard that, but really, does it matter? But when you start digging into things like the WEF, and then you start matching up the events that we just that you just heard from that interview, the fires, for example, at these strategic hubs, and also the agenda, the electric cars. What a bunch of hooey that is. I want you to take a look at this. Again, Vigilant Citizen, June 1st, 2022. The top 10 creepiest and most dystopian things pushed by the World Economic Forum. You know, that you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. I'm so tired of hearing that. I'm so tired of hearing about that. And I'm so tired about... really, how can that even be possible? The opening part of this article gets into that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You can go ahead and look at the list of attendees, for example, at the organizational meetings of the World Economic Forum held this past May. You can go through all that. You can go through about the penetration of governments, that the fact that we have people working on our payroll, that you and I paid their salaries, that are working against our best interests, and the fact that a person like Klaus Schwab, the unelected head of really air, nothing, has such influence. I will say this. No, I can't say that. Except to say that this man, in my view, should be living the rest of his days in a jail cell. And of course, the fact that he was a student of Henry Kissinger, and when you start following the lines of Kissinger to Brzezinski, remember Zbigniew Brzezinski? Mika's daddy, Mika from Morning Joe. Yeah, you remember, right? And then you get into the article about controlling minds using sound waves, and you think, oh, come on. Really? Seriously? Come on. You remember Michael Terrell from Whole Tones, right? We got to get him back on. Frequency, sound waves. This was talked about in 2018 and even before, about mind control using sound waves. Now, I'll toss something out here real quick, and you can just keep that up there for a second. Mind control has been on the platter forever. As long as we've had an intelligence community, we've had the dabblings of mind control. And one of my pet projects, which I want to write a paper on this someday, I really do. And let me know your thoughts. The RFK assassination. RFK assassination. I'm telling you right now, mind control played a huge role in that, in ways that you may not even begin to understand. But I digress. And then think too, fast forward to the Havana syndrome. What was that all about? Was that like an outlier of events? An outlier? No, I don't think so. And then 8 is pills that contain microchips. Hey, you know what? I know where I've heard that before. I've heard that from people like T. Ted Brewer. I've heard that from Ted Brewer. Pills that contain microchips. How to be controlled. Make sure you take that Pharmakia. Mm-hmm. And of course, the praise of massive lockdowns, the fact that, you know what, it's awful quiet out there. The ambient noises down. Oh, aren't lockdowns just fabulous? And they're coming. More are coming. And the question built into this is, what pandemic era change would you like to become permanent? Okay. And then the push for the Great Reset. Again, I'm just going through this list very quickly. And finally, my personal favorite, number 4. And I say my personal favorite is because, well, this is what they're attempting to do through the BS bullcrap J6 committee. And trust me when I tell you this. Mark this on your calendar. July 15th, 2022, Friday. The January 6th committee from this, even though it's an illegitimate committee, there will be people, there will be platforms that will cease to exist because of the efforts of what the January 6th committee does by way of the Justice Department. Freedom of speech will be quelled, chilled in a big way. Jail time, charges, criminal charges. You think they're done? You think they're just after President Donald J. Trump? No. They want him out of the picture, but they're going scorched earth. Not only do they want him out of the picture for 2024, and like him, hate him, I don't care. I don't care if they're talking about Bernie Sanders. It's not right. This doesn't happen in a representative republic, which we are no longer. But recalibrating freedom of speech, one thing you're not going to do, the older I get, the less of a filter I have. You tell me not to say something, I'm not just not going to say it. I'm going to say it and I'm going to yell it. Remember Arthur from King of Queens, and he also played Costanza's dad on Seinfeld. I'm going to be that guy yelling everything. That's right. Because as I get older, number one, life in prison means less to me. And number two, you're not going to tell me what I can and can't say. This is the United States of America. I was born here. My ancestors fought for that freedom. And I will die for that freedom. All right, with me, Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. What's wrong with you? Nothing, right? Why? Well, you're taking Health Masters. That's why. It's Friday. It's a weekend, you know? So, no, look, folks, do yourself a favor. Put the best supplements that you can in your body. And there's only one place to do it, and that's healthmasters.com. They're the only place on the planet that's got the best supplements. I'm telling you, they've got great supplements. So many people sell supplements. They sell great supplements. Take advantage of their specials, their packages, the immune system support kit. And they even have, yes, food buckets while you still can get them. Products of the week. They change weekly. Ooh, I say what? CoQ10. Thank you. You didn't think I could read that from here, did you? Product of the week, CoQ10. All right, that's a great product, by the way. There's some other products that you should be taking in addition to your ultimate multiple. You've got to be taking your ultimate multiple. You've got to be taking that. Because if nothing else, take that along with your C, your D, your zinc, quercetin. Please do that. And while you're there, listen to Ted and Austin Brewer weekdays, Monday through Friday. For those of you who have to do the math, that's Monday through Friday. And Sundays, too. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m., and, of course, Sunday as well. Give them a listen. Bookmark healthmasters.com. And Ted will tell us what the coupon code is. Ted, how are you, sir?
Hey, Doug. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm enjoying your monologue. I've had a good time just listening to you. I mean, you're absolutely right. And right now, the Ultimate Multiple Powder is on sale for 20% off, which is a huge sale. And the CoQ10 is on sale for 10% off. And Austin's getting me that coupon code right now. I'm sure it's the same one we had last week. Which one did you use last week? Do you remember, Doug?
HR5. Eric the Tech just yelled that in my ear. HR5. Because he knew I was going to ask him that. But HR5, yeah.
But HR5. And, you know, I was reading, I also read the Vigilant Citizen. And you're right, that article they had on the WEF is absolutely awful. Oh, by the way, the coupon code Austin just told me is Doug10. I have no idea what that means.
Okay, all right. So I get an extra bonus there. Doug10.
I guess we're taking, I guess it's 10% off. I don't know. You'll have to check it when you check out, but Doug10. But I was reading The Vigilant Citizen on the WEF, and you're absolutely right. The stuff they're doing in there is absolutely ludicrous. And the problem is that, like you said, who elected these guys? And okay, I'm sorry. Austin just corrected me again. He goes, no, not that one. It's HR5.
All right. So forget everything we said, all right, about the coupon code. It's HR5. HR5. Oh, my goodness. Hang on a second.
That's awesome. That one's on Austin, not on me.
No, I know. But you know what? HR5 is the coupon code. And that's good because I don't have to.
Hey, Ted's the boss. So which one does he want?
Actually, Austin runs the day-to-day activities of the office, so it is HR5. I'm not down there. I may go down there for 10 minutes once a week, and that's about it. And he runs.
Are you retired?
Everything.
What's going on? What do you do?
No, this podcast that we do, Doug. It takes, well, you know, heck, you do the show every day too. It takes 4 to 6 hours a day just to prep the show and get it ready to go. I've got to read hundreds of articles a day, and that's why at the healthmasters.com news feed that we have on the website now, sometimes you'll see 25 or 30 or 40 or 50 articles published, you know, printed every day on the news feed just to coordinate with the show that we're doing for that day. And, you know, I may read 100, 200 articles that day. So it takes a lot of time to do this, as you well know. And that's why every once in a while we have to take some time off, because it's mind-boggling, debilitating if you don't get a break from this stuff, because it's so
I got to tell you this. My wife came up to me the other day. It was yesterday. And she said, so I was keeping track of your time, because I was complaining about time earlier in the week and stuff. And she said, do you know how many hours you spend watching videos or with your nose buried in the computer that I see you during the day? And I said, no, I don't have a clue. She said 11 on average right now, 11 hours.
And that's why Austin has to run the office for me. I physically can't do it. A couple of weeks ago, we went on vacation with Sharon for 2 weeks. We went around different parts of the country and had a great time. I just need to have some time off to rewire. But of course, when I had available Wi-Fi, I still did the show even on vacation, because I realized how important it is to get the news out. But I like Vigilant Citizen. But they also have an article that I really enjoy. It's called I don't like what it says, but it's very informative. It says The Occult History of the U.S. Military PSYOPs, and it's highly symbolic recruitment video. So I posted the one you mentioned, and also I posted this one on our website now, so it'll be up by tonight. So you guys will really, you know, can read through this and understand it. And I want to cover one other thing real quick. You know, we've got a lot of people right now, according to several news articles. In fact, they're saying several hundred thousand new COVID cases a day aren't being reported. And I want to say this, and it's important, because I talked about this on your show 2 years ago and a year ago. A lot of these COVID cases that are being caused now are because people's immune systems are shot because of the spike proteins and because of the RNA implantation and the change of their DNA. And their immune systems are shutting down. That's why so many people are sick. That's why so many people are coming it down with COVID 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Not only are they releasing additional variants, in my opinion, but your immune system, if you're not taking the right supplements, or if you've had the vaccinations, they're really not a vaccination, the kill shot, I'd call it, are impaired. So make sure you take the potassium iodide, the zinc, the vitamin C every single day, the N-acetylcysteine, very, very important. And if you can't get quercetin, we have that also in our HGA Stimulate. It's so important that you do the supplements on a regular basis, even if you only do minimal amounts. And I also recommend that you take at least 10,000 IUs of vitamin D3 every single day, along with K2. Very, very important. You get your vitamin D levels monitored a couple times a year to make sure you don't get too high on them. But remember, without vitamin D, your immune system simply can't work and won't work. That's one of the reasons, again, besides the fact that so many people have taken the shot, I think it's at 5 billion globally now, the reason we're having so many people getting so sick. And they're probably going to do more lockdowns again in the fall, Doug, because they want to have mail-in ballots again like they did last time. So they do more election fraud, you know, surprise, surprise. And there's no way Trump didn't win that election last time. Nobody was going to vote for Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden as much as they were going to vote for Bernie Sanders. You mentioned Bernie Sanders earlier. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have Bernie Sanders in the White House than Joe Biden. That's how much I dislike Joe Biden. But Bernie Sanders was pretty much told he was not going to be able to run for president and win. And you got to remember that before that one election, I forgot, in 2016 when he's doing the primary, if I remember right, he got beat up. He showed up on a news conference, the whole side of his face split open. And so somebody let the boy know, in my opinion, that he wasn't going to run for president. And that's when they were trying to, you know, put the Benghazi witch in there. But at least Trump beat her to start with. And I really wish, and you're right about January 6th, too. I was listening to your monologue. You know, January 6th was a giant psycop. It was specifically designed to get people to go to Washington, D.C. in order to arrest the leaders of the alternative news movement. It really was. And all the people that were out there and being vocal in their communities who went up there by the hundreds of thousands to support Donald Trump with the election that was stolen. I still believe with all my heart it was stolen. No one's going to change it. If you don't believe that, watch that movie 2000 Mules. And I'm sure you've talked about that show on your show.
Yep.
But Donald Trump really screwed up. He should have pardoned every single person from January the 6th. But by the time he was at the end of his tenure there as president, the deep state, including all of the Russian collusion and the never-ending barrage of bad media against him, had pretty much taken its toll on him. I think he was just trying to not go to jail himself. And quite frankly, he really tarnished his own reputation by not pardoning every single person. He could have issued a blanket pardon for anybody involved in the January 6th protest before he left office. And that would have stopped these ridiculous incarcerations. And these people have been locked up now for a year and a half. And some of them are going to be doing 5 to 10 years in prison for walking into the Capitol building. It's insanity, Doug, what's happened. And you're right. They're rewriting the First Amendment as far as freedom of speech. Now they're going to tell us they have new rules now, what you can and can't say. And they've already done it with the transgender movement. They've already done it with the woke movement. Now, if you say things at a job or you're working somewhere and you happen to mention something that you don't agree with, something that's going on from a transgender standpoint, you say something so controversial like, oh my gosh, men can't get pregnant, they're not women, you're like, wait a minute, you're wrong, you're a transphobic, you know, bigot. And I'm like, no, I'm not. If a man is pregnant, it's just a woman pretending to be a man who's now is pregnant. I mean, it's so stupid that we're doing this and we're having to deal with this, especially with the children. That's why I continue to applaud Governor DeSantis here in Florida for what he did, basically hamstringing Disney. Disney tried to get involved in the political realm of Florida and basically groom our little children to be gay and trans. And DeSantis says, no, we're not going to do that. And of course, he's had a huge backlash from the Disney employees because they're about 70% gay. But it doesn't matter. He's standing up for what's right in the state of Florida, and we're all standing behind him. And I just hope, because he went to Yale and to Harvard, that he's legit. He's not skull and bones. He's not something weird. That he's not just being groomed to be where he is right now to be put in an office and then do the bidding of the New World Order. Because these guys are just sick. They really are. You mentioned that with Klaus Schwab. Let me give you an example. There's a really good article on Breitbart, and it's by Nolte, and it says the non-woke Top Gun Maverick grosses $600 million tops Titanic in box office revenue. And I started reading through this, and it really gets good because it talks about how it's not messed up. It's not weird. I'm going to read you part of it. It says, what I think happened is that the public embraced both of these blockbusters, including Spider-Man, not because they're great movies, because they are an oasis away from the woke Nazis. A good time in the movies is such a rarity and such a pleasure that people want to see No Way Home and Top Gun again and again. It did so if only to remember what it used to be like to go to the movie without having to worry about being shamed, attacked, made uncomfortable with homosexuality, and having the spell broken by these political intrusions. In other words, if you build it, they will come. And I've seen the movie. I've seen it a couple of times. I really like planes and flying and all that kind of stuff. And I've watched Top Gun multiple times with Sharon. It was a great movie, and I highly recommend it. Now, the movie Elvis that just came out, I don't recommend that one at all. It's another weirdo movie. Don't recommend that one at all. But I am a fan of Elvis, but that was not a good depiction of his life. And now you have to ask yourself a question. Why in the world have so many people come in now and basically gotten so woke and gotten so messed up? And we've talked about this at length before. We really have. We talked about the Kabbalah. We've talked about the Zohar. We've talked about what they did to basically create these horrible problems in the United States and how they've come in now with their satanic teachings. And they basically pushed this doctrine from the Zohar, which was written in 72 AD, which is a compilation of all of the ancient teachings of the Babylonian religions, the Canaanite religions, Satanism and witchcraft, and the worshiping of Baal and Moloch and Asherah. And a lot of you guys, and a lot of particularly from the Hagman Show, have asked me about that. And I'm going to go into a little bit more detail right now on the Kabbalah and some of the things it talks about and where it can be found both represented in the Old and New Testament. I think it's important that we understand that it's very clear in the Bible that this thing is being pushed out and being told to us by God that it's not good. The Kabbalah consists of some 550 books, and its origin is traced to the time the 12 tribes of Israel were in Egypt. The Kabbalah reared its ugly head when Korah tried to overthrow his cousin and lead the people back to Egypt. This is Numbers 16, 1 through 3. Most Christians are ignorant about the teachings of the Kabbalah and completely miss the horrible insurrection against Moses. This rebellion got Moses so angry that he requested a special death for the rebels, verses 28 through 34. The Israelites had been so seduced by the teaching of the Kabbalah that they ironically accused Moses of having killed God's people in verses 41 through 50. It was King Solomon, who had been, was the richest man on the planet at that time, that embraced the Kabbalah and accepted the number 666 as his Kabbalistic name. Because remember, King Solomon got all wrapped up with his wives from these foreign countries, and they were basically sacrificing their children to demons. He even set up high places for the Israelites to sacrifice their children to Moloch. Solomon did that. He went horribly sideways and started practicing Satanism and worshiping Lucifer. And we've got to understand that he did this, and this is the guy who so many people look to as far as having so much wisdom. But here's what happened. He chose 666 as his Kabbalistic name. He made sure that he received exactly 666 talents of gold as a tribute, 1 Kings 10, 14. His special throne featured six steps leading to the seat. There was a line on either side of each step so that anyone facing the throne could not help but see the numbers 666, verses 18 through 20. And basically, a lot of people believe that he was identified in the book of Revelation. And here's some of the basic teachings of the Kabbalah that I've talked about before, but I'm going to summarize it for you. And this is what they believe. They believe that their God is a snake in a tree. But let me tell you where the origins of that came from. They don't believe in the God of the Bible, as far as the God of Moses and Isaac and Abraham. They don't believe in that God. They believe in a different God. They believe that when God was creating the heavens and the earth, a portion of him fell to a bottomless abyss where he took the form of a holy serpent. This is this Ein Sof character that comes in for the Kabbalah. The serpent is the Messiah of the Jews, and it's the duty of all Kabbalists to bring the serpent from the abyss so that he can begin to reign over Israel and the world if these Jewish folks are practicing from the Kabbalah and the Zohar, which many of them do not. I will say that again, too. A lot of them don't. A lot of them still use the Torah. This, however, can only be accomplished by making everyone on earth good or making everyone evil. So guess which option the Kabbalistic leadership at the time that Solomon chose? The low road of making everyone evil and having human sacrifices everywhere. This was reinforced in 1666 with Sabbatai Zvi, who was also a Kabbalist, and he said the same thing. We've got to make everything evil all the time. You guys can do your own research on this. These Kabbalists embraced idolatry and child sacrifice because the Kabbalist leadership told them the Messiah would rise from the abyss faster if they sinned greatly, because they felt this snake in a tree was the Messiah. Moses met the bad God, according to them, when he went on top of the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and the 70 elders at the foot of the mountain met the God Lucifer, who they now think is a good God. From this moment forward, the people who were the Kabbalists were led by these 70 Kabbalistic elders for each generation, and they have to be initiated in Kabbalah. They have to basically take an oath of death. Now, there's some other verses in the Bible I'm going to cover real quick with you guys. God spoke to the prophet Isaiah against the insidious teaching that the more you sin, the faster the Kabbalistic Messiah will arrive. This is Isaiah chapter 5, 18 through 20. God denounced the Kabbalistic covenants of death, Isaiah 28, 14 through 18. God condemned the Kabbalistic practice of working evil in the dark, Isaiah 29 through 15. The prophet Jeremiah warned about believing lying words, Jeremiah 7, 1 through 11. God attacked the conspiracy of the Kabbalist leadership in Jeremiah 11, 9 through 10. God also used the prophet Ezekiel to point out the conspiracy, Ezekiel 22, 24 through 29. And John the Baptist pointed out the followers of the Holy Serpent when they're coming to get baptized in Matthew 3, 7 through 9. Jesus also exposed the Kabbalists in Matthew 12, 34. The Kabbalists recognized that Jesus had supernatural powers. So they tried to take him by force to lead a rebellion against the Romans, John 6, 14 through 15. Even Apostle Paul was accused of being a Kabbalist in Romans 3 through 8. And we need to understand that this satanic group that runs Klaus Schwab, that runs the World Economic Forum, that runs State Street, BlackRock, and Vanguard, and 90% of the media, this is the synagogue of Satan. It's also said, called in the book of Revelation, that this is the group that still runs the planet. This is the group that wants to groom your children to be transgenders. It wants to groom your children to be homosexuals because it believes that their God, the snake in the tree, Ein Sof, they call him, is a basically hermaphrodite. He has both male and female characteristics. In other words, he's a transgender, and they want everybody to represent him, and they believe the closest expression they can possibly have to their God is to be gay or to be transgender. And heterosexuals need not apply. This is why it's accepted all over the world now with the transgender teaching when this Kabbalah and this Zohar go out before it. And you see these girls, and you don't have to be Jewish to be a Kabbalist. I'm going to say that right now. You know, Hillary Clinton's not Jewish. You know, Bill Clinton's not. But they're all Satanists. They're all involved in the evil magic of arts, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, Larry Nichols said that Hillary Clinton would go to her witch's coven, you know, every 6 weeks or so in L.A. She's like a Kabbalist witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember all that, Doug. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing that's so crazy about this is that, you know, Britney Spears, Madonna, you know, all of these people in Hollywood that have hundreds of millions of dollars in net worth, almost all of them practice this. Almost all of them wear the red strings around their wrist. But that's not as prevalent as it was, as we started calling it out on the show years ago, and other people started calling it out. Now they're beginning to realize that they're basically showing people what they believe. Now, there are people out there who buy the red strings because they're supposed to ward off evil spirits, and they wear them, and they don't understand the symbolism behind that. But once we get the picture of who these people are and what they believe, then we begin to realize very, very quickly that these are the guys that are running the planet. They want their new world order. They want their one world order. They want this planet under Lucifer. They want it under Noahide laws so that if you worship Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're going to get beheaded. They don't want people out there believing, you know, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that Jesus Christ redeemed you. They don't want people believing any of that stuff. That's why they have an atavistic hatred of Christ. That's why you see it in Hollywood. That's why very rarely, if you have a major story or a major show that's being done on Hollywood, do they ever talk about Jesus, even when they pray. The vast majority of the times, I mean, 99% of the time in Hollywood, you see them praying, you know, they won't pray in the name of Jesus. You'll see upside down crosses. You see black crosses. You see crosses with snakes hanging on them. All these crazy things that they do for their symbology because they're obsessed with this serpent in this pit. And so they continually show these things and this imagery of these snakes. It's, you know, they see the all-seeing eye of Horus. All of this stuff came out of Egypt and out of Egyptian mythology. It came out of the Canaanite religions, you know, when Noah had in the ark. It came from all of this with the fertility rituals. I've gone into detail with you guys about this, about how you had to sacrifice your children, basically feed these entities, these demons, in order to have your crops grow correctly. And this all came together in the Egypt when they were basically practicing and worshiping these snake gods in Egypt. And then it turned right back around and the ancient Israelites that were in Egypt for 400 years had this stuff thrown into them for 400 years. And when they came out, they were still being led by these 70 Kabbalist elders who believed all of this stuff and continued to lead them down this road of destruction. And that's one of the reasons, if you read the Deuteronomy, they would not stop sacrificing their children to Baal and to Moloch and to Asherah. Ancient Israel would not. And that's one of the reasons that God scattered and destroyed the country. And see, and Dr. Mark Rutland's a good friend of mine. And on the 4th of July, Christmas, or it's 4th of July, not one Christmas, 4th of July service that he did on July the 3rd this year, he talked about how if ancient Israel did not escape God's judgment because they continually sacrificed their children to Baal and to Moloch and to Asherah, why is it the United States thinks that we can avoid God's judgment because we've killed 60 million babies through abortion? And we're pushing these transgenders to these little children. All this crazy stuff that we think as a nation we can continue to do because we've lost control of the narrative. We really have, Doug. Back in the 40s and the 50s, and especially in the 50s when I was born, you know, we had control of the narrative. You know, we had movies like, you know, Mayberry, you know, and with Andy and Barney and all the different things. And it was a pure time to be alive. And we didn't have to worry about sending our children to school and having them taught to be a homosexual at the age of 4 or to be gay or to get confused and become a transgender. None of that stuff happened back then. You could actually go out into the neighborhood. It was short of getting, if you didn't get in a fight, that happened too. But you can go out into the neighborhood and you could basically go play baseball or go play football with your friends and not have to worry about being abducted from the street corner. I mean, it was a different time. You could leave your doors open at night and unlocked at night and open the windows to try to get air into the house because nobody had AC back then here in Florida. It was hot. And it was a different time to be alive. And see, that's what so many of us our age see back as far as what the highlights of America was. And now this is not it. Now we have these never-ending wars that are brought to us by the Cabalists, Luciferians, who run the World Economic Forum and the central banks and basically control Congress through the blackmail. We saw that with Jeffrey Epstein and Mossad and with Ghislaine Maxwell. And, of course, the CIA and MI6 is involved in that. We can't put all that on Mossad. They're all involved in it. Look at the CIA with Operation Mockingbird. Now they spent billions of dollars bribing, you know, people to give the news stories they wanted to give out. And here's where that came from, Doug. Back during World War II, when the CIA was still the OSS, they learned that if they tried to put the information into Germany as far as giving them incorrect information as far as research, where the Allies' positions were going to be, that if they gave all the information out that was wrong, that the Germans wouldn't believe any of it because it was like, wow, this is all fake. We know this isn't real. But if they gave out like 80 or 90% of positions that they already knew that the Germans knew for the war as far as troop locations, and then they only gave out like 10% of fake information, the Germans automatically believed it because 80, 90% of the information was already real. And this is what we're seeing now in the alt media. And we see it also in the news media. But people got so wrapped up in CNN and Fox and ABC and CBS that they believe the stuff they see. And it doesn't matter if it's 50% fake and 50% real or 70% fake and 30% real. They've been so programmed for so long now by the media that they want to believe it. You know, we saw this happen in our life, Doug, when we were little. Remember Walter Cronkite? And that's the way it is. January the 1st, you know, 1968. You know, and the people were saying he was the voice of God to people. And he was a hardcore leftist socialist communist who wanted a one world government and a one world dictatorship. And he continued to pursue that all the days of his life when he was alive, speaking at places like the World Economic Forum and speaking with Henry Kissinger and pushing these narratives behind the scenes. But we gave him so much credence because he came into our rooms every single day, and he started telling us these things that were going on that we started believing him. And see, and that's why they hate alt media so much. That's why they hate the Ted Nelson Brewer show. They hate the Doug Hagman show. They hate the Dave Hodges show. They hate all of the shows that are out there telling you guys the truth. Now, every once in a while, we may get a story wrong because we get some bad intel on it, but I'm quick to correct it. And sometimes I've actually deleted an entire broadcast because of that. These guys don't do that. They intentionally, and a lot of alt media is the same. I'm not going to name any names here. But a lot of alt media is on CIA payroll. I'm letting you guys know that right now, and that they'll put out 90% true stuff and then 10% is pure false. But they never talked to you about the Kabbalah. They never talked to you about the Zohar. They never talked to you about the ancient Canaanite religions. They never talked to you about Jesus. They don't talk about stuff like that. And if you don't go there, you can't get the whole picture. And people are always saying to me, well, you know, you talk too much about Christ. You talk too much about Jesus. My response is always, go listen to another show where they cuss at you and get drunk on the air and smoke and carry on and do all the other stuff. That's what you want to listen to. But I'm going to always talk about Christ because without Jesus, Doug, we have absolutely no hope. None. Zero. Because Jesus already had the victory on the cross. He already defeated this serpent thing. God, it's already done. It's over with. It is finished, Jesus said. But we as Christians aren't taking hold of it, and we're allowing the world to dictate what we can and can't do. And then we listen to the world, and we forget to say things like, hey, I don't agree with that. Hey, you can't groom my children. You know, last year, I think you played it, you know, on our show, and I did it with you. It was my three-minute presentation to the school board. And I talked to them about cultural Marxism. I talked to them about the Frankfurt School. I talked to them about the infiltration of the school systems with critical race theory. I talked about all of this stuff in a three-minute period. And I said, now, many of you guys aren't aware of this because you're school teachers. And I was a college professor for 2 years. And I said, I wasn't aware of it when I was teaching college. And I said, but the reality is this is very real. And this is where these teachings have come from. And you could tell they were looking at me like, well, what is he even talking about? They had no idea that they had been indoctrinated into this socialistic mindset. And one of these ladies who was there, she's a real weirdo. She was looking at me like she would take me out back and put me in front of a firing squad. She was so angry. The good news is a bunch of these guys are coming up for re-election here in the fall, and we've got a bunch of good candidates running against them now. We hope to get these people displaced and out of there because we don't want people telling us that our children have to wear masks in school when they're 4 and 5 years old and then punishing the children when they don't wear masks, turning them to good little peasants. I don't want any of that. But when you see what's going on, Doug, and you watch the halftime ceremony at Super Bowls, that right there will tell you how satanic it's all become. And you watch the filthy, filthy music videos that Katy Perry puts out or Madonna puts out or Miley Cyrus puts out. I mean, just absolute filth. Well, they're all Kabbalists. They all practice from the Zohar. They're all witches is what they are. Remember when that one, I forgot which one it was basically doing the whole witches brew thing. I think it was Katy Perry. They had the witches up on the platform with big cauldrons of steaming stuff coming out of them. It's all a bunch of witches running the planet right now. And because this is the way it was in the ancient days. You have the witches that they would go to, you know, and they would talk to the witches as far as getting the ideas of what to do next, et cetera, et cetera. And you see this, in fact, that movie 300. I'm not recommending the movie because it's pretty graphic, especially for kids. But Leonidas had to go to the witches, the Oracle of Delphi, to talk to them about what to do as far as going with this war. And see, if people understood how powerful this occult thing was and that we're still being ruled by the ancient Canaanite religions with an entire priest and priestesses class all over the planet right now, why do you think Hillary Clinton is untouchable? She's a high-level witch. She's above Bill Clinton. I mean, he does whatever she says. Why is there such a huge body count behind the Clintons? What about the Rose Law Firm? What about what was going on in Mena, Arkansas with Larry Nichols, that when Larry Nichols was working for him back, you know, when they were running all those drugs out of Mena? They never got indicted for any of that. They never got in trouble for any of that. And you watch that movie by Tom Cruise did. It's called American Made. You go into detail of how many drugs they were running out of Mena, Arkansas, down into Central and South America, and guns, et cetera. But nothing ever happened to these guys. And because nobody is going to talk to these people and get them convicted. I mean, look at the stuff on Hunter Biden's laptop, Doug, and the filth, the pure, just the filth, the horrible stuff that's on there. But yeah, he's never been indicted. So I don't know. So if the justice system is this completely compromised because of Jeffrey Epstein, probably, and the judges are this completely compromised, the only option we have is a spiritual revival. We're never going to have a political solution to a spiritual rot in the United States. It's going to have to take a spiritual revival in the United States to get this correct. And there's no solution from an electoral standpoint, from a national standpoint. Now, you can start at the low levels. You can start at your county and your city governments, and you can run for those offices, and you can be vocal about it. And you make sure that the guys that are representing you do what's right. That's really important, especially with school boards. And then you go to the state level. That's really important. Then you can go basically to the national level, but it has to start as a grassroots movement. Remember how we all laughed about Barack Obama being a community organizer? I mean,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
We all did. We thought it was stupid. This guy's a community organizer, and I was running for president. That's where it starts. You know, the door-to-door, talking to your friends and talking to your neighbors. That's why I recommend that all of you take the show right now that we're doing with Doug, especially if you're a Christian, and you send it to your friends. That's the biggest pet peeve I've got. You have all these people listening to alt media and listening to good shows like our show and like your show, Doug, but they won't forward the shows because they don't want their neighbors or their friends to think, oh, he's a nutbag. He's a conspiracy theorist. He believes this stuff. Well, they just locked you down for 2 years. They carpet bombed the country by closing it down. We have supply shortages everywhere now. They're burning up food plants and blowing them up along with natural gas plants all over the place that are main distribution hubs. They're using geoengineering to cook the West and to basically dry everything out and dry out crops and cause massive crop failure. You know, it's like G. Edward Griffin said a few years ago when he did a whole video on the chemtrails and the geoengineering. He said it's being done to short the food supply. He warned us about that. He just came out with another really good article about this Air Force officer who was basically not found guilty of disobeying the order of not taking the clot shot. He's been able to go back to work now. And that's a huge, huge hearing, by the way, that was done with the military tribunal. And I'm so happy that they're not going to find this guy guilty. And they're going to court-martial him or throw him out of the military. He's an Air Force officer. It's so important that we understand that when people stand against the tyranny, we've got to support them. That's why I want to thank everybody. And I pray for you guys to support them, by the way. I want to thank all of you who listened to the Ted Dawson Brewer Show and who listened to the Doug Hagman Show. Because, guys, without you guys supporting us and helping us, we couldn't be here. I mean, my gosh, we're out here on the front lines. We got our necks on the line, so to speak, and we've got to have support. Just like all those people in Washington, D.C. who went up to support Trump, how so many of those now have been, over 1,000 of them now have been arrested, some of them still in jail, and Trump never pardoned them. It's not okay what he did, but I really think that they had something on him, and they're using him as the yin and the yang, so to speak, to use a common vernacular, as far as the push and the pull, as far as the energy. because they have to have a good guy and a bad guy. And Trump's kind of both, I guess. He's kind of a good guy and bad guy. And now they've got DeSantis coming up, and I hope he's for real, like I mentioned earlier. But the reality is that until we get this thing straightened with the judiciary, and the Supreme Court got a couple things right here, getting rid of Roe v. Wade. That's important. That's really, really, really important. You know, now Clarence Thomas said he wants to come in and get rid of men in bathrooms. He wants to do that too. And all of the sexual harassment stuff, he wants to get rid of all that. You know, if you don't, if here's the thing, I'm going to explain this to you guys. And I think I've said this on the show before. You know, they use name calling to try to get people to shut up. They say, you're a racist or you're a bigot. Well, let me explain to you what those things mean. If you're a racist, you think that another race other than your own race is genetically inferior, and they pretty much don't deserve the right to either breathe air or to reproduce or should be in slavery. Okay, that's a racist. You really believe that. Well, that's a pretty hardcore stance to take. I mean, it's ludicrous, to be honest with you, it's stupid. But bigotry is different. Bigotry means you're diametrically opposed to somebody else's value system. So that makes you a bigot to that person. Okay, well, that means if I don't like pedophiles and them raping little boys, that makes me bigoted towards pedophiles. Well, that's a true statement. Ted Brewer is a bigot towards pedophiles. I don't like pedophiles. I think they should all be basically tried and found guilty and then get the death penalty, be taken out back and shot. That's how I feel about pedophiles. But that doesn't make Doug, you've seen the sacrificial sites. You know what happens to those sites.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the problem I've got. So what we've done is we've got ourselves really, really thin skin now. And we go, whoo, they said I was a bigot. Whoo, okay, whatever.
I'm a bigot against pedophiles.
So am I, Doug. And so if they say Ted Brewer is a bigot, if they had me on a national talk show, which they used to do that all the time. I've been on a national talk show a long time. If they had me on a national talk show, they said, well, we're telling you that you're a bigot. And I'm saying bigot is what? Well, you're bigoted towards homosexuals. Yeah, I'm diametrically opposed to the lifestyle. Oh, you're a bigot. Yeah, towards that I am. How about towards pedophilia? Well, I'm diametrically opposed to that. I'm a really big bigot to the homosexuals who are basically pedophiles. They should be taken out back and strung up and found guilty. They're awful. Well, you're saying they should be killed? Yeah, I am saying they should be killed. You rape a child? Jesus said it this way. He said, it'd be better for you that a millstone be tied around your neck and thrown into the deepest parts of the sea if you hurt one of these little ones. Because, you see, the same group that he was talking to that they called the brood of vipers, who were snake people with this whole thing that I just talked to you about, Kabbalah, they were doing the same thing back then. They were raping little children, and they were killing little children, and they were sacrificing little children. And he knew that, because remember, he's God. He knew what they were doing. God already showed him what they were doing. That's why he called them out and said they were children of the devil. You got to get who these people are. Got to understand that. Once you see it, you're going to see it. You can't unsee it. But you can't say, wow, they said I was this or I was that. You can't be concerned about the name calling. Now, if it gets bad and somebody's just straight lying about you, go get yourself an attorney, you know, and start, you get, have them send a letter and saying that you're slandering me or whatever. This needs to stop. That usually takes care of it. Once you get the attorney involved, 99% of the time it stops. I got that. I realize sometimes you got to do that because people just make stuff up about you. But the reality is, if you're saying stuff against this new world order, it's like with me. I've got a whole list of Hollywood people that I won't watch their movies. I won't support their movies because they're woke and they're constantly talking about the woke. This Chris Evans guy, the guy that played, you know, Captain America. I just like watching his movies. But his brother's a hardcore homosexual. Chris Evans goes to hardcore homosexual, you know, rallies. He promotes homosexuality. And he said that anybody who's against homosexuals should be basically their dinosaurs and they'll soon be died off, which that'd be me and you, Doug, because we're in our 60s. And my response is, okay, if you want to talk about me like that, I'm not going to go buy a ticket to see one of your movies. I'm not going to do it. Same thing with the Doctor Strange. Guys, don't go to movies like that. I mean, that's all Satanism. It's horrible. It's horrible, horrible, horrible. But Christians go out and support those guys. Don't support that filth. Stay away from it and realize it's not okay to give them your money. I mean, it'd be like you going out and paying money to an abortion doctor for an abortion and being happy he killed your baby. That's not okay. And now a lot of these other abortion doctors, they're saying now they're having to rethink their professions because I guess they can't legally kill the children anymore. So now they're going to be doing other things. It's sick, the mindset here. And that's not even – and I'm going to say something here. I'm trying not to get really mad. There's some really good pediatricians out there. There's some really good general practitioners out there. There's some really good surgeons out there. I know Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Derek Lumpudi. They're all really good friends of mine. I love those guys. They're great, great, great physicians. But there are a lot of really bad ones out there. And I got to let you know that. They're kind of like attorneys, all right? You got really, really good attorneys. You got really, really lousy attorneys. And that was pretty good with every profession. You got really good dentists. You got bad dentists. And you got to learn. You don't support the bad guys. You don't give them money and you don't support them. When a pediatrician says, I'm not going to give these children the shots unless the parent insists on it, okay, I got that. But when the pediatrician says, I won't accept you as my patient unless your children take all 76 vaccines along with all the COVID shots, that's wrong. Why is he forcing that upon the parent and upon the child? And now they're telling us that a 4 to 6 month old child can get the shots, a series of shots. That's going to go into their ovaries. That's going to go into their testicles. It's going to stop secondary sexual characteristics from developing. It's going to stop ovulation. It'll probably cause premature or ovarian failure if they ever even develop ovaries to start with that can produce eggs. It's going to cause a massive reduction of the population of the planet within 30 to 40 years. But of course, remember, they didn't want to release the data. Pfizer didn't want to release the data for 50 to 60 years about what their shots really did. Now we're getting all these data dumps and we're finding out how toxic it is and how it kills people. We now see that. But they don't want any of this released for 50 to 60 years until all of these executives were long gone and dead. And that way they wouldn't be held accountable for any of this. But yet, even though it's been released now, they're still not being held accountable. It's ludicrous. And people are lining up for shots. I've got a good friend of mine. He's a car salesman that I know. And I talked to him about the shot, told him not to get it. He went out and got it. He got all three of the boosters, got all of it. His name is Dean. I won't mention his last name. And last time I talked to him, I said, how are you doing? He goes, well, I'm not doing it today. I said, why not? He goes, well, I got gangrene on my left foot. Gangrene. His entire lower extremities are filled with clots. They don't even know how to fix it.
It happens. Come on. You can't, you know. No.
And I all these people, all these athletes, over 1,000 top performance athletes all over the world dead in 1 year. And you're seeing it. All these NFL players, NBA players dying in their sleep. It's not like they're on an accident. They have an accident.
Sudden adult death syndrome. Hey, it's been a thing, you know. Let's normalize this. What a bunch of – this is a bunch of crap that's going on, okay? And I'm sick and tired of these numbskulls. They can't see this crap that's going on. People can drop dead in front. Well, you know, it's always happened. I mean, people – it's a coffee. It's a soft drinks. It's this. It's that. What a bunch of – go on, yeah, because I'm
going
to –
Well, no, you're 100% right. And what we have going on right now is that we have all these people out there that are basically just ignoring the facts. Remember, though, this happens all the time. Jesus said that light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. People would rather believe the lie because sometimes the truth is too hard for them to handle. You know, there's a veil put around the hearts and the minds of the unbeliever. That's what the Bible says. They can't see the truth. I mean, I have a friend of mine. He's an evangelist, and he's a woke. He's a patriot, and he had his son decided to go ahead and give his baby all 76 vaccines. My pastor was opposed to the vaccines. He says, "Can you help him to see the truth?" I said, "I can send him some literature to read, but I can't make him see the truth." It's like trying to get somebody saved. If they don't want to get saved, they're not going to get saved. If they don't want to accept Jesus Christ for who he said he was, they don't have to do that. It's a choice. So I sent this kid 400 articles on vaccines, how bad they were, 400. It was a giant file. And I mean, these were double-blind clinical research studies, 400 articles on how bad vaccinations were. And he calls me up and he goes, well, I've got the information you sent me on the vaccines. Do you have more? I said, do I have more than 400? I said, well, yeah, I do, actually. And he goes, well, can you send me the rest of them? I said, have you read the first 400? Well, no, I haven't looked at them. And I'm like, why are you calling me up? You're an idiot. I said that to him. I said, you're an idiot. I said, you're stupid. I said, I just sent you 400 articles on how bad vaccines are, but yet you're planning on still vaccinating your child 76 times. I can't help you. I said, your dad basically needs to cut you off and get you off the church payroll. So I told him. I said, you're horrible. You're a horrible, horrible person that you're going to do this now that you know the truth. Because you let your wife... Forgive me for saying that, ladies, because that happens a lot. Or you let your husband, forgive me, guys, for saying that, because that happens a lot too, say, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm going to give those kids this vaccine because it's better for them. But they won't read the truth. I have a good friend of mine. Her name's Mackenzie. We raised her. It's like one of her own children. And she basically had another, she was pregnant. And I said, well, can you do me a favor? I said, I'm going to send you the movie Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. I'm going to buy it for you online. I have it emailed to you or shipped to you. And I want you to watch it. So she watched the movie Vaxxed and she goes, I'm never going to get on the vaccine. I'm never going to vaccine any of the kids. And I said, okay, great. Well, then her husband still wanted to vaccinate him. So what McKenzie did, she played that movie in the background while they were like getting ready for bed. He started watching it, listening to it. He goes, wow, McKenzie, this is all true. She goes, yeah, I don't want to do the vaccine. He goes, I don't either. See, you, if a person's willing, if they're willing and obedient, they'll eat the fruit of the land, is what the word says. But they've got to be willing and they've got to be obedient. And so people, so many people aren't, Doug. They, like you said, they're not going to listen. It doesn't matter if they're starving to death and they have no food. They're not going to believe anything that we've told them about the shorting of the food supply and geoengineering being used to short crops. They're not. That's why, you know, we're selling our organic food buckets like crazy at the website, because people realize that there's a real high probability we're not going to have food. We're going to have a problem and we're going to have shortages of food. And this is the same thing they've done to every country they've taken down. They short stuff. They have shortages. They have labor supply. They're giving free money away. We watched the same thing happen with all this money they gave away in the last 3 years with COVID. And then people decided not to work and people couldn't get evicted. And then we had huge supply line shortages. And then Donald Trump shut the country down and carpet bombed the economy when he did that, because somebody told him to do it, I guess. And basically then destroyed so many of the suppliers that General Motors can't even get parts for their vehicles or trucks in many cases. Now, I ordered a truck a year and a half ago, Doug. I never got the truck. It never got made from General Motors. I ordered a Chevy 2500 diesel pickup truck. I never got it. Now, what I did get, somebody else had gone in and basically had an order in from about the same time, I guess, and they had decided not to wait any longer, and their truck came in. But my truck never came in, and it never got built, because they had supply line shortages. And this is always what happens when they want to take down a country. They start breaking down the critical infrastructure. They start breaking down the supply lines. They start breaking down the trucking. They start breaking down the railroads. And all that, whether you've been keeping up or not, has been going on if you're listening to the show today. It's all happening around us, including telling farmers not to plant crops, including plowing under crops, including having huge droughts out west and in the Midwest and massive crop failures. This is all happening right now. There's no shortage of oil right now. You know, we've just shut down the supply lines coming in from Russia into Europe, and we're sending our oil all over the country right now, and it's driving up our diesel prices and our oil prices. The United States was energy independent just a couple of years ago. We were producing plenty of oil for what we needed in the United States, but then Joe Biden, who's probably being controlled completely through the Kabbalist Luciferians as he reads his teleprompter, because he has no idea where he is or who he is. Most of the time, he's completely and totally senile, and every once in a while, they'll get him on a TV show if it's really him, and not a body double. I'm just saying that, putting that out there, and they geek him up on some methamphetamine compound to get him awake for a little while so he can answer questions. But this is a nightmare. We've got a guy in the United States White House who we think's the leader of the country. He ain't in charge. You know, and Bill Clinton said that years ago. Remember when he got out of the White House, he said he learned very, very quickly that the top decisions that had to be made, that he didn't make them. Somebody else made them, but he would never tell us who made them. And I'm telling you, it's the Kabbalist ruling weirdos, the CIA, the OSS, the shadow government, all of these people that are appointed in all these positions that cannot get fired, that are continuing to do all of this stuff and pushing their agendas. You know, the Rockefeller Rothschild banking cartel, we've talked about that so many times on the show. It basically is the most powerful organization in the world. They control State Street and Vanguard and BlackRock, and they control almost the entire stock market. And they use that computer program called Aladdin, which trades by the billions per second as far as making trades on the stock market. It's acquired all of these stocks now and controls all these organizations. And that's why when Linda Forster Rothschild has a meeting, when Georgia decides it wants to change its election laws, it puts the top 100 CEOs, the CFOs from all the Fortune 500 corporations, you know, on a telephone conference call with her at one time. Doug, who has that kind of power? These are very, very busy people, and they're told to be on a telephone conference call with Linda Forster Rothschild? Nah, come on, guys. Think who runs the planet. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. That's what the word says. And when we have a debt-based monetary system, the only way we can continue to basically increase the monetary supply is to borrow it from international bankers at an interest rate, and the interest is never printed, therefore can never be paid back. We get into a debt cycle that gets deeper and deeper and deeper. This is Babylonian money magic, and this is what they've done to us now for over 100 years. It's the same group of people that basically did the same thing to the Roman Empire. They collapsed the Roman Empire by doing the same thing with debasing the currency. This is the same group of Kabbalist Luciferians that have been running the planet through their cycles for eons of time. And they got hammered pretty hard after Jesus was resurrected. When the Christian church came into Rome and they stopped doing all the idol sacrifice and the human sacrifice and the gladiatorial combat, that took several hundred years. And then, of course, the Church of Rome got unbelievably corrupt and started selling indulgences, or also known as get out of hell free cards, with those giant cathedrals over there. Then Martin Luther came back and said, look, we got to go back to the first century Christian church, and we can't be doing all of this stuff. But guys, we have to keep our hearts and minds in Jesus, for he's the answer. He's the answer. He's the only answer we have. And that's why I pray for you guys, as I mentioned earlier, every single day, because I want you guys to be blessed. I pray that God blesses you, that he keeps you, that he allows his face to shine upon you, that he's gracious unto you, that he grants you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity, and resolve, and you stand against the evil one and the onslaught of the evil one, and that you can maintain what we have in the United States. Because, guys, it's like that Chris Evans said, you know, Doug and I are, they say we're the dinosaurs. I think we're the ones that are the patriots and really leading the charge here. I really do. But the reality is this: if we don't continue to raise little Americans like we've done, you know, with Austin, and Doug's really helped with Austin. Doug and Austin are really good friends. He sees Doug as a surrogate father. When we don't raise our children to do the things they need to do, who's supposed to do it in the next generation? I'm asking you that question. If you don't raise little Christians, who's supposed to take over the mantle? Who's supposed to carry on the cross of Jesus, the cross of Jesus going on before us, like onward Christian soldiers? That old battle hymn that we had back in the Lutheran church when I was a kid. Who's supposed to do that if we don't teach our kids how to do it? And I have so many friends now, they don't take their kids to church anymore. They don't do it. They say, well, we teach them about Jesus at home. I'm like, well, you need to take them to church. You need to take them to church every Sunday. Sunday school, church, every Sunday. Because if you don't, the world is going to teach them. And one more thing, since I'm meddling here, since you're probably already mad at me anyhow, all the people listening, or some of you are, make sure your kids don't get iPhones and iPads at a young age. I've learned this one by experience, guys. And I didn't know my kids had the iPads or iPhones until they were like 14, 15 years old. Don't let them have access to them when they're younger. And make sure you keep security passwords on there and keep your code numbers hidden so they can't find them. Because, guys, if you get the kids involved with watching stuff online or hanging out with friends that have iPhones or iPads and they're watching bad stuff like pornography online, it really affects their brain development and it starts messing them up inside and out. It really does. So avoid and make sure you stay away from that. And the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character, you know, and we need to understand that. Keep your friends good and keep their kids good and keep them away from your children if your children are innocent. I mean, I've seen it. I've raised four children. And if you don't do that, what ends up happening is you get into a situation where that child starts going sideways on you. And once they go sideways on you, it's very difficult, if you haven't trained them up in the way they should go, to get them to turn back around and do the right thing. I've seen it in my own life, in my own family. So very important you see that. And if you've got a situation where you have alcoholism in your family, which I do, my mom was basically an alcoholic, functional alcoholic, it's really important that you don't keep alcohol in your house with the kids there. That's really, really, really important, guys. And you think, well, I don't have a problem with alcoholism. Okay, well, be really careful with keeping beer or something in the liquor cabinet with little kids coming over with their friends. Be really careful with that stuff, guys, because if they start drinking at a young age, a lot of times they start getting hooked to the alcohol, especially when since about 10% of the population is genetically predisposed, that if they start drinking, they become alcoholics. And I've seen that. I saw a bunch of kids in high school. They start drinking in junior high school. They were like 10, 12 years old. They stayed drunk through junior high school. They stayed drunk through high school, and they stayed drunk through their lives. Most of them are dead now. We're completely and totally dysfunctional alcoholics or on drugs. I've seen it in my own life because I was raised, remember, in the 60s, in that gosh-awful CIA Operation Monarch and Operation Weird Things that they did to the people with LSD back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. I was raised right in the middle of that. But your kids could come through it if you keep them trained in the way they should go. What do you think, Doug?
You know, everything you said was 100% accurate. I'm going to throw one more thing out here for people to watch. Weapon of mass, you mentioned LSD, the CIA, right? Mm-hmm. Weapon of mass destruction, chemical warfare, fentanyl and carfentanil. Watch that. That's coming. And that's going to be used, I think, both by the IC as well as the CCP. And our enemies to destroy many, to kill a lot of people. I just want to toss that in there in addition to everything you said. That's all.
Well, no, remember what happened with the Sackler family with Purdue Pharma. They got fined billions of dollars for pushing OxyContin on everybody. And now we have 65 million people that are hooked on opiates in the United States. 65 million? the fifth of our population, sixth of our population are hooked on opiates. They can't function properly without opiates. And it's very easy to get hooked on opiates. Let me tell you, I had back surgery about 10, 15 years ago, and they gave me some Dilaudin, it was called. And it's strong. And I remember I was in excruciating pain. I took one of these pills, and I was as happy as I could be 15 minutes later. No pain. I could walk around. And that's okay. But by the third day I was on this stuff, I'm starting to think like, wow, I don't really feel bad, but I still won't take one of those pills because it makes me feel pretty good. They're that addictive. And I put those things down. I told Sharon, I said, go put these somewhere else where I don't even know what they are. I said, I don't want to get addicted to this mess. It's that addictive. So be very, very careful if you're put on that. But this is back to the opium wars. Sackler family with Purdue Pharma, the same thing they did with the Chinese. You get everybody drugged out of their mind. You have 60, 70 million people drugged, and all they care about is the drugs. They don't really care what you do with the government.
Yeah, but okay. But you know, here's the other thing, too. I'm not too, how can I put this? To me, opiates, if you need them, I want to see everyone who needs opiates, prescribed opiates, and taken properly. Okay, that's number one. But what gets me is now today, opiates bad, but marijuana good.
Now remember, this all goes back to and Doug, you're right. If somebody's in excruciating pain and the only thing that'll take that pain away is an opiate, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, because the pendulum has swung too far the other way. I saw somebody with cancer who older person with cancer. Well, you got to keep checking. You can't be because we don't want you to get addicted. I mean, for God's sakes, you got 6 months to live. You know, you're going to get it.
No, I don't have a problem. When somebody's in excruciating pain and they have to do that, I don't have a bit of problems with it. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the recreational use of opiates. That's
correct,
what I'm talking
correct.
About.
Correct. Okay, that's fine.
Not for chronic pain care. I don't have a, I told my mother-in-law, they're having to put her in a wheelchair because she's got excruciating back pain. She's like 90 years old. And I told Sharon, I said, see if the doctor will prescribe her some mild opiates to stop the pain. She doesn't need to be in pain like that. She's not going to live that much longer. She doesn't need to live the rest of her life in excruciating pain. There's no reason for that.
So why the push for marijuana though?
Well, because again, it's all controlled through the cabal. Okay. It's all cabal. Remember, this is the opiate wars. Remember back in the 60s with the Vietnam War. This is one of the reasons John F. Kennedy was killed. I covered that last month, the last show I did with you, is that he wanted to get rid of the CIA because they were slinging dope. Because remember, with Chiang Kai-shek, the OSS went to him back in the 40s after World War II, and they asked him how he was able to keep a million-man army going. And he said because he sold opiates to the peasants. That's how he fed the army and kept the whole military in place. Well, when the OSS became the CIA and they realized that, they started slinging dope out of Southeast Asia and bringing it in American body bags and bringing it on C-130 transport planes or whatever they were using back then. They were doing all of the same things that Chiang Kai-shek was doing, but they were doing it covertly so that the American population wouldn't know about it so they could fund their black ops and they wouldn't have to go through Congress. It's like a whole drug thing that just started, and then they were using Lucky Luciana to set it up into the Harlem nightclubs and all the things they were doing with this to run the drugs covertly. But when Kennedy found out they were doing that, he wanted to get us out of Southeast Asia. One of the main reasons that we were using Agent Orange is we were spraying Agent Orange on the competition's opiates. And people don't get that. And we were destroying their crops. And then we were going into Cambodia and Laos, Vietnam, because it was the big center there. And then we started doing geoengineering, trying to either flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail or dry out the crops. And then we destroyed the growing cycles there. So we moved those drugs, the United States CIA did, to Afghanistan. And there they sat. And then the Taliban finally got them out of Afghanistan at the end of in their late 90s. And we had a giant opium shortage through the CIA and through the drug cartels. And so they had to find a way to get back into Afghanistan. Hence, we ended up with 9/11. And we immediately go into Afghanistan. And then they start growing the world supply of opiates again and poppy. And this is the group that runs the planet. It's the same group that we mentioned earlier in the show. It's the Satan group that does this. You mentioned, Doug, before I came on, you talked about pharmakia. It's the same thing that Revelation talks about.
Yes.
They want people debilitated and they want them addicted. And then what they did, Purdue Pharma ran up basically everybody using these things. And then now all of a sudden they start tightening them up. So people don't stop using them. They go to the street because they're addicted to them. And they buy the opiates off the street. They buy the OxyContin off the street. Or they buy the fentanyl. Or they buy the opiates laced with fentanyl. And then we have all of these overdoses.
There you go.
Now, I told you guys, my brother-in-law, Sharon's half-brother, died of a heroin overdose in Orlando on Colonial Drive in a friend's bathroom, shooting up with heroin. because he didn't realize how pure it was coming out of Afghanistan. And I had the guy who was there, who I went to that crime scene, that death scene, and the cop told me, he goes, the heroin coming out of Afghanistan now is not even cut. There's so much of it.
That's amazing. Hey, I got to stop you, man. I don't want to, folks, healthmasters.com, HR5 is a coupon code. Healthmasters.com. If you like what you hear, tune in to Ted and Austin Brewer Show every Monday through Friday. Please do that. HR5, healthmasters.com. Bookmark that website. Good night, Ted. Thank you. We're out of time. God bless.
Thank you.